This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rahmatin lil alamin. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the last day. A few weeks ago, we were discussing one of the hadiths from An-Nawawi's 40 hadith. We were talking about hadith 19, which focused on the advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to his cousin Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Today, inshallah, I want to talk about another hadith from this collection. Right, the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. These 40 hadiths, they summarize the entire religion. Which means, if you want to learn Islam in details, study the meaning of these 40 hadiths. And so the hadith I want to talk about today is hadith 32 in the Nawawi's 40 hadiths. Hadith 32 is so important in our lives that we can consider it to be half of fiqh, half of Islamic law. Half of the laws of Islam can be understood from this one hadith. And what's so powerful about this hadith is that it's only four words. In the Arabic language, it's just four words. These four words spoken by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are so deep and so powerful and so full of meanings that entire books have been written explaining them. So the hadith, which is mentioned in Ibn Majah and in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, do not cause harm to yourself or anybody else. Right? Do not be the cause of any type of harm. This hadith is half of our religion when it comes to law. Because the scholars of fiqh have said, the laws of Islam are only of two types. Either Allah is telling us to do what is beneficial for us, or He's protecting us from what is harmful to us. Meaning half of this religion is the protection from harm. Now this hadith is deep. It is so deep that this hadith is one of the five major formulas of fiqh. One of the five major formulas of fiqh. Meaning when the scholars of Islam are making fatwas, there are five main formulas they use for making their fatwas. And this hadith is one of them. Right? Just to list them briefly for those who are curious, you don't have to memorize all five unless you're becoming a scholar of Islam. Right? Otherwise, just for those who are curious, there are five main principles that the scholars use for deriving fatwa. Number one, every action is judged by its intention. Number two, something that you have yaqeen about, something that you are convinced about, that cannot be overruled by doubt. That's a very technical one to go into, but the students of knowledge around you may understand it. Number three, when life gets very difficult, the laws of the religion get easier. Meaning, if you can't stand and pray, sit and pray. If you're too sick to fast, make up your fast after Ramadan. This is a principle of the Sharia. Number four, do not cause harm to yourself or anybody else. This hadith, it's one of those five principles. And number five, when there is a clash of cultures, the local culture is the deciding factor. So these five principles are the main principles of fiqh when it comes to qiyas, when it comes to how the scholars derive their fatwas. And one of these five is the hadith we are talking about, which is, do not cause harm. La darar wa la dirar. Do not be a cause of harm to yourself or anyone else in any way. So what I want us to learn from this hadith today is three main points. Right? Three main points. One related to the Sharia, one related to fiqh, and one related to akhlaq and adab, manners and character. When it comes to the Sharia, when it comes to the laws of Allah, the laws that Allah has revealed explicitly in the Quran and hadith, what we learn from this hadith is everything that Allah has declared haram, He has declared it haram. Why? Because it is harmful to us. That is why it is haram. Allah didn't just make things haram because He wants to make life difficult for us. No, what did we say last week? We said in Surah Baqarah, what does Allah say when He talks about Ramadan and fasting? He says, "Yuridu Allah bikumul yusra wa la yuridu bikumul usra." Allah wants things to be easy for you. He does not want it to be hard for you. So this is the fundamental of our religion. Allah wants life to be easy for you. Therefore, He is making haram the things that make life hard for you. Like what? Alcohol. Right? So people may think, hey, Islam makes life so difficult. You know, we can't drink alcohol. Islam is making life easy for you. He's protecting you and your family and your neighbors and the people on the road from the ill effects of alcohol. It's protecting you from harm. Right? People may think, Islam is so strict, you know, you can't have a girlfriend. No, Islam protecting you from all the harms that come with this girlfriend culture that we see around us. All of it. Islam is protecting you from every type of harm. And therefore the scholars of Islam say, anything that Allah has made haram, He has made it haram because it is harmful to us, whether we understand that harm or not. That's the important point. Whether you understand it or not, you still have to accept that it's harmful to you. Why? Because Allah knows best. And Allah is the one who made it haram. Based on His knowledge that we don't have, and His wisdom that we don't have. So sometimes you don't understand why it is haram. But you accept that Allah made it haram, therefore it must be harmful. So the first point is that whatever Allah has made haram, stay away from it for your own benefit. Because if you engage in it, you will either be harming yourself or somebody else. Right? So when a Muslim, for example, takes alcohol, if he drinks alcohol, may Allah protect us from ever doing this. What is he doing to himself? He's harming his body. If he gets intoxicated by it, he can harm his family, he can harm his neighbors, he can harm somebody on the road when driving. Right? So if he stays away from what Allah has prohibited, he's protecting the entire society from his own harm. So we said 3 points. Number one, whatever Allah has prohibited is harmful to us. That's why Allah has prohibited it. Number two, when it comes to fiqh, sometimes there are things which Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not speak about because they did not exist in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the scholars of Islam can tell you that that thing is haram. Why? Why can the scholars tell you the thing is haram if Allah and His Messenger never spoke about it? Because of this principle, la darar wa la dirar, do not harm yourself or anybody else. Based on this principle, we can state that all forms of drugs are haram, even though they did not exist in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can say that tobacco, in all of its forms, whether it's vaping, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's a hookah, it's all haram because it is harmful to you. And the Prophet has prohibited us from doing anything that harms ourselves. Right? So just because it did not exist in the Prophet's time, doesn't mean the scholars can't call it haram. Rather, this is the principle that they use. Right? What is the principle? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith, in the most general wordings possible, has told us that anything that harms us or other people in a way that is substantial, right, in a way that is detrimental to your health or to their health or to your well-being or their well-being, anything that is seriously harmful is haram. It is haram. So based on this, the scholars use their minds, they study the things that people invent, they weigh the benefits and the harms, and if the harms outweigh the benefits, they have the right to pass the fatwa that that thing is haram. And if the scholars have declared something to be haram, based on the same principle, there's a principle that is derived from it. And many of us are unaware of this, right? There's a principle derived from this. And that principle is, whatever is haram to use or do, it is haram to buy and sell it. Think about that principle. Whatever is haram for us to use or to do, it is haram to buy and sell it. Why? Because what does the hadith say? Okay, let's look at the example of smoking cigarettes. Right? We know through modern science that cigarettes cause cancer. Right? We know it's one of the top 5 leading causes of death in the world today. Now, the hadith says, do not harm yourself. How do you practice this hadith in the context of cigarettes? Don't smoke. But the hadith also says, la dirar, don't harm anybody else. How do you not harm anybody else? don't sell them cigarettes. Because if you're selling it to them, knowing that it can cause cancer, and they are buying it and smoking it, knowing that it can cause cancer, and they get cancer because of that, they are sinful for causing their own cancer, and you are sinful for selling them something that caused them cancer. Understand this. This is a very important principle that we take very lightly. That in our businesses, make sure we are not selling anything harmful. Whether it's a form of gambling, whether it's a form of tobacco, whether it's a type of drug, whether it's something that, you know, sometimes it's something simple, you know, that maybe there's a household glue that certain people are sniffing and getting high on. You are not allowed to sell it to that type of person if you know they're going to do that with it. Right? Because you are assisting them in harming themselves. So this is very, very important when it comes to fiqh. That many times, you know, young people come to us and say, oh, the Quran doesn't say anything about smoking being haram. That's because smoking didn't exist at the time when the Quran was revealed. But the Quran gave us a very simple formula. Don't harm yourself. How do you do that? Don't consume anything whose harms outweigh its benefits. So we said three things. Number one, anything that Allah has made haram is because it is harmful to us. Number two, when there are things which Allah has not spoken about at all because they did not exist in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the scholars come to the conclusion that this thing is harmful to society, they can make it haram. They can make it haram based on that. This is how traffic laws are formed. Right? In Islam, we actually are supposed to obey the traffic laws. Why? Because not obeying the traffic laws is harmful to society. It causes accidents. It can cause death. These laws aren't just made up for no reason. They're made up to protect people from killing each other on the road. So following that law is part of practicing this hadith. Don't cause harm to anybody. Right? The third part of this hadith, the third aspect of this hadith, is when it comes to our manners and characters. That in our interactions with everybody around us, our families, our neighbors, our employees, our employers, our general society, whoever it is, la darar wa la dirar, do not be a cause of harm to anyone in any way. To such an extent that there are other hadiths that confirm this. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al muslimu man salim al muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. The Prophet ﷺ said, the true Muslim is the one who others feel safe from being harmed by his tongue or his actions. Meaning what? You don't cause harm. If you are a true Muslim, you don't harm others. You live your life in a way that people, when they see you, they know, this is a good brother. He's going to help me, he's going to benefit me. Or at the very least, he's not going to harm me. So, this hadith that we are speaking about the causing of harm, it's a principle which isn't spoken about that often in our masjids these days. But when you study Islam classically, it comes up in every book of fiqh. And it comes up in every book of the principles of fiqh. And it is something which is studied in detail and taught in details because it makes up half of our religion. Half of our religion is avoiding anything that is harmful to us or to others. So what I want to do now is I want to go into some examples. I want to give you examples of things that Allah has made haram because they are harmful to society, and you may not have realized how harmful they are to society. Right? Number two, I want to give some examples of things which Allah did not mention, but we as humans can see that these things are harmful. Therefore, our fatwa should be that these things are haram. Why? Because of this hadith. Number three, I want to give us examples in our daily life of areas where many of us fall into harming others. And a stern warning to each and every one of us to stop it. To stop harming our brothers and sisters in Islam, especially our families. So let's start off with the example of the first. I said that everything that Allah has prohibited, He has prohibited it because it is harmful to us. Right? Now, when we were growing up, many young people used to say, what's the harm in having a girlfriend? What's the harm in having a boyfriend? There's nothing wrong with all these things to say. Right? And so, what the Muslims did, a lot of them adapted the zina culture of the non-Muslims. Right? And this became part of the culture of the Muslims of this society. May Allah forgive and guide everyone in this community away from this evil. What is the result? What is the harm that has been caused by adapting this culture? The most obvious harm, divorce has skyrocketed. That's the most obvious harm. In the countries and cultures where people are not involved in zina, divorce is at 10%, 20% most. In countries where people live lives of zina, divorce rate is 50 or 60%. There's direct correlation between the two. Right? Because when people are engaged in this life of sin, they cannot be satisfied with one halal person. And they end up doing things which are completely prohibited by Allah, and which end up harming their marriage, end up harming their relationship with their children, end up harming their honor, end up harming society. The second harm that has come from this zina culture is that children are growing up without parents. Sometimes they're growing up not even knowing who their parents are, who their fathers are. Children are being raised who know, and they don't even know who their fathers are. There are children out there who know their fathers, but you know, the parents split up because of one of them being involved in the sin, and they're growing up in a single family home because of that. A single parent home because of that. You know? And then there are times where the parents have not put any effort into raising their children at all. Right? Because they're too busy involved in fulfilling their nafs and following their nafs. And so now we have a crisis of parenting. And now we have a young generation of Muslims who don't want to get married, who don't want to have children, who just want to have fun. They've completely forgotten the purpose of life. Why? Because Muslims adapted this harmful culture of the West, so the same harms that are coming to them are now coming to us. How do you avoid these harms? Follow Islam. Avoid zina. Get married young. You know, focus on obeying Allah, and you will live a life free from harm. You will have a happy marriage. You will have barakah in your marriage. You will have righteous children. You will have barakah in your children because you chose to obey Allah and avoid what is harmful. So these things, you know, they may look fun to the young people. They may look like something that they're going to enjoy, but the harms that come to them, even psychologically, you know, from the heartbreak and everything else involved, is far more than the few minutes of joy they get out of these kind of evils. Number two, an example of things which were not mentioned directly by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that we should avoid because it is harmful to us. Right? And that is, nowadays many of us have this bad habit that we overeat and we oversleep. Right? And if a doctor has tells you that, listen brother, for the sake of your health, you need to cut down on your sleep, or you need to avoid these types of food. Many of the ulama have said, in that case, it becomes haram for you to eat that type of food. Why? Because you know, if you eat that, you're going to have a heart attack. Now, you understand the point? If a doctor told you, listen brother, you have eaten so much KFC in your life, if you eat another bucket of beans, you're going to have a heart attack. It becomes haram for you as an individual to eat that bucket of wings because you know that there is a 90% chance it's going to kill you. You understand? Taking care of our health is part of avoiding harm. Taking care of ourselves is part of avoiding harm. We must live our lives in this way. So, all around us, take a look at the things in our lives, the things we do for entertainment, the things we do to relax, the things we do in our businesses, and ask yourself, is this beneficial? Or is this harmful? Because if it is harmful, there is a strong possibility that it is haram, even though it is not directly mentioned in the Quran or Hadith, because of this Hadith, which prohibits every type of harm. So brothers, if you have a bad habit that can cause cancer, if you have a bad habit that can destroy your lungs or your heart, if you have a bad habit that is going to cause some kind of mental illness, then stop it for the sake of Allah, stop it for the sake of your own health, stop it for the sake of your family. Stop it because Rasulullah said, La darar wa la dirar. Don't cause harm to yourself or anybody else. Follow this hadith by giving up all bad habits that are harmful to you. The third aspect of this hadith, we said number one, the laws of Allah, number two, fiqh, number three, akhlaq and adab, our personal character, how we treat people. How do we treat people, brothers and sisters? You know, it's sad that we live in a time that people, when they talk about practicing Muslims, they talk about practicing Muslims being, you know, the most dangerous and scariest of people on earth. Have you ever seen it? Some people are like, they're literally scared of a guy with a beard. Even Muslims. You know, I've heard people say things like, I'll never work for a Muslim man in Durban because they all treat the employees badly. So of course, generalizing like that is haram in its own sense, because not all Muslims treat the employees badly, but that's the experience that these individuals have. Right? Many of us are not aware of the fact that the way we live our lives, we may be harming our employees. We may be harming our wives. We may be harming our children. We may be harming society. We need to become more conscious of this. The Prophet ﷺ, he spoke about this over and over again in so many hadiths. How do you treat your guests? How do you treat your workers? How do you treat your wife and children? My brothers in Islam, if you are treating your wife and children with harshness and meanness and physical harm, don't expect them to love you. Don't expect them to love you if you're treating them like that. I have seen families where the parents are so harsh to their children, and then those children grow up and they leave their parents, and the parents ask, why don't my children love me? It's because you never gave them love. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith, he was sitting in a gathering like this, and one of his grandchildren came and he picked up his grandchild and kissed him. And one of the men commented, you know, trying to boast about his masculinity, he boasted and said, I have 10 sons, I've never kissed any of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to this man and he said, whoever does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. Meaning what? If you don't show love to your children when they are small, don't expect them to show you love when they grow up. What you give is what you're going to get out of that relationship. So my brothers, how many of us have a loving and close relationship with our children? How many of us have a loving relationship with our wives? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu came to him and asked him, oh Rasulullah, who do you love the most? He answered straight away, Aisha. Immediately he mentioned his wife's name, in public, in front of all the men. He was not afraid to let men know that he loved his wife. And when you ask Aisha radiallahu anha about him, when the Tabi'in came to her and asked him, how was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his household? She said this. She said, he had never raised his hand on a woman or child or a slave or anybody. The only time he ever raised his hand on someone was in jihad, fi sabilillah. That's the only time he ever fought someone. Otherwise, he was a gentleman. He knew how to treat people well. So my brothers, when it comes to our families, are we practicing this hadith? La darar wa la dirar. Do not harm yourself or anybody else. And by the way, when you cause harm to your family, you are also causing harm to yourself. Because when it comes to family, what goes around comes around. Right? If you are being harmful to your children, when they grow up, that harm comes right back at you. When you are being harmful towards your wife, then when she has had her limit and she can't take any more, it comes right back at you. Right? When you are harming your employees, one day it will come back to you. So we are supposed to be the nation of salam, the nation of peace. We are supposed to be the nation who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you are the best nation brought out for mankind. Allah has made us the best nation for mankind. Meaning, people are supposed to love us. People are supposed to want to be like us. People are supposed to be safe around us. There was a time when the Muslim world was so safe that if Christians or Jews did not feel safe in Europe, they would migrate to the Muslim world. Because they knew the one place in the world where they would be safe and their rights would be taken care of was under Muslim rule. Today, Muslims don't even want to work for each other because we're so terrified of how we treat each other. So my brothers, take a deep look inside of ourselves. Allah has not revealed laws that are arbitrary. Allah has not revealed laws without reason. Allah is Al-Hakim. He is most wise. So every law He has revealed is full of wisdom. And from amongst the great wisdoms that Allah has based His laws upon is this hadith, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, which Allah has mentioned in different wordings throughout the Quran. Allah has also stated in the Quran that وَمَا جَعْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنَ الْحَرَجِ, that I did not place any harm upon you in this religion. Meaning, there is nothing in this religion that Allah said you have to do that is harmful to you. Think about it. Has Allah made anything compulsory that is harmful for us? Think of a single thing that is wajib but is also harmful to you. You can't. In some religions, to be righteous, you must go live in the mountains and avoid working. In some religions, to be righteous, you have to live a life of virginity, never get married. Not Islam. Because Islam recognizes the harms in this. And so Allah has actually made this haram. Rather, Allah has made the religion such, everything that Allah has commanded and recommended is beneficial for us. Salah benefits us. Fasting benefits us. Zakah benefits us and society. Hajj benefits us. Hijab benefits us as a society. Right? Whatever we do in terms of fulfilling the obligations, we benefit from it. So, you know, many times the young people, they ask me, you know, what do I get out of obeying Allah? You get protection from harm and you get the benefit of obeying the law of Allah. That's what you get out of following Islam. You get protection from harm. Because if your friends are going out and they are taking drugs and smoking and, you know, getting involved with women, and you are not doing that, they are the ones who are going to have to now deal with the outcome of all of that. They are the ones who are going to have to deal with the headaches and vomiting in the morning. They are the ones who are going to have to deal with the STDs. They are the ones who are going to have to deal with heartbreak. They are the ones who are going to have to deal with depression. And you're not going to get any of those because you stayed away from the cause of those things. So understand and accept that in Islam, whatever Allah has decided is based on His infinite wisdom, whether we understand it or not. And based on that, we will submit to His laws, we will follow His laws, we will obey His laws. So, as we come to the conclusion of this presentation, I just want to again quickly recap the main points from today's presentation for those who came late. We are speaking about Hadith 32 from An-Nawawi's Fatih Hadith. This Hadith is also found in the Sunan of Ibn Majah and the Muwatta of Imam Malik. It is Hasan, it is graded as acceptable by the scholars of Hadith. عن سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ضرر ولا ضرار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, do not cause harm to yourself or anybody else. We said that this hadith makes up half of fiqh, half of Islamic law. Because half of Islamic law is telling us what to do, and half of it is telling us what to avoid. And the half telling us what to avoid is all based on this hadith. Avoid everything that is harmful to you and everything that's harmful to society. So we said, based on this hadith, we take three lessons home. And my brothers, if you don't remember anything else, remember these three lessons. The first lesson is that whatever Allah has made haram, He has made it haram because it is harmful to you. So when you stay away from the haram, you are just protecting yourself from harm. Even if you can't see it straight away, you are protecting yourself from harm. Right? So accept this and submit to this, that Allah has prohibited this because it is harmful to me, whether I understand why or not. That's an important point. Whether I understand what the harm is or not. Number two, that when it comes to things not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, things which are new, things which have been invented recently, right? New forms of technology and new forms of, you know, culture and whatever has come up in recent times, these things, we weigh them in light of this hadith. If their harms outweigh their benefits, then they are haram. They are prohibited. If their benefits outweigh their harms, then most of the scholars will say they are permissible. This is the principle of fiqh in general, right? That because literally everything is harmful to some extent. Driving a car is harmful to some extent, right? You're polluting. You're causing traffic. Right? So scholars don't take it to that extreme where everything is haram. Rather, they weigh on a scale of benefits and harms. If the benefits are more than the harms, it's permissible. Right? You're driving a car, it helps people get places faster, it's more convenient than walking, and little bit harm comes out of it, you're polluting and, you know, you're causing traffic. That benefits outweigh the harm, so it's permissible. But on the other hand, you have things which the harms outweigh the benefits. If you take a look, for example, at tobacco, right? The benefits maybe it makes you feel nice, it makes you relax, you know, it calms you down. But the harms, it can kill you. You know, it literally kills millions of people every year. So the harms outweigh the benefits, right? So therefore the scholars say it is haram. And the third lesson from this hadith is that in our manners, in our character, in how we treat people, in how we interact with society, in how we do business, in how we work, in how we treat our wives, in how we treat our children, in every single aspect of our lives, do not cause harm to anybody. Live a life that is such that the rest of the world feels safe around you. That is what a true believer is. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The Prophet ﷺ stated, the true Muslim is the one who others feel safe from any harm that may come from his hands and tongue. Meaning people look at you and they feel safe around you, they feel protected around you. They know you're not going to do anything to harm them. And finally, I want to end with one point. Harm in Islam does not just mean physical harm. We're not just talking about hitting people, right? There's moral harm, like destroying someone's honor, right? Like slandering and backbiting. That is a moral harm. It doesn't physically hurt, but it harms people in ways that are, you know, that only someone who's been slandered knows how harmful it is to their life, right? There's psychological harm. There's moral harm. Then there's verbal harm. What you say to people, being vulgar, hurting people's feelings. Be careful of that, right? And there is spiritual harm. There are things that harm our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Saying bad things about Allah, speaking bad about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now these kind of things, they harm us spiritually. They deaden the heart. So when we talk about something being harmful, we're not only speaking about physical harm, we're talking about it comprehensively. If something damages your relationship with Allah, stay away from it. If something causes problems in your family, stay away from it. If something causes harm to your customers or your employees, stay away from it. Live a life in which the world feels safe around you. That is how we practice this hadith. That is how we live by this hadith. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to practice on what was said. May Allah forgive us for our sins and make us from the people whom Rasulullah said, the true believer is the one, the true Muslim is the one who others feel safe from his hand. May Allah make us true Muslims like that. Jazakallah khairan wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.